Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology. Three astrologers who get together, speak on the phone. We talk about what's going on this week, and then we take questions from callers or take questions from email. And I am Mark Waltz, speaking to you this evening from New York City on the island of Manhattan, over on the west side by the Hudson River. And over on the east side,
Ann Ortley, and I'm lying here on my big green couch instead of sitting at my bright red desk, but I will move to the bright red desk soon. And I'm an astrologer in New York on the east side. So, but I decided I would lounge during the beginning. Actually, when we were talking on the phone, I was laying on the couch, so I should go get on the switchboard. When we're ready to take callers, I'll leap to my bright red desk.
So
I can see it.
The Access Astrology Lounge.
The Access Astrology Lounge program. We're lounging on the couch. There's a cat in my feet.
Get out those big fluffy slippers. And
yes.
Sit back, folks.
So we'll do a cup of tea.
Normally we're joined by Heather, and Heather may be calling in. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Or else she's tied up with something else.
Yeah, she wasn't sure if she'd make it tonight. So she might be here, she might not. But I have a good feeling. I have a feeling Heather will ding in. We'll hear her come in on the Aunt Clara bell, and we'll say, "Oh, Aunt Clara, Heather's here." It always sounds like Bewitched to me when that little bell rings when someone comes in.
Ding.
You know, ding.
Yeah.
So fond memories of Elizabeth Montgomery and Bewitched. So,
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! It is the Chinese New Year. It is the year of the Water Dragon.
The Water Dragon.
Yeah. So tell them a little bit about Water Dragons, Mark.
Water Dragons are friendly dragons. They're sympathetic and sentimental because of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And dragons have a good forward energy to them. They tend to be rather entrepreneurial. So this is a year that favors starting things up, getting things underway, into action, and generally a very forward kind of energy. And dragons in Chinese mythology are friendly creatures. Sometimes in the Western lore, we think of them as being rather fierce and formidable. But the Chinese dragons are friendly and bring luck in general. So, and the water ones, the water years, and remember there are five elements in the Chinese system. And in the water years, there's a great feeling of sentiment, and much like we look at water, it has to do with feeling and emotion. So that's the quality of the dragon. Every fifth dragon is different. And so you have a total of 60 years in the cycle, the 12 animals and the five elements add up to a 60-year cycle. And so it'll be 60 years until the next water dragon comes gliding in.
And we'll be dead then.
Or getting ready.
I'm out of here. I'm not going to be here.
You're out of here.
You can stay if you want. I'm out of here 60 years from now. No more water dragons. This is my last water dragon.
Oh, well, then that's a big reason to celebrate it and enjoy it.
I know. It's my first and last water dragon, though.
Yeah. That's it.
Thought of that. I thought, I'm not coming back 60 years. It'll be 120. What's it? Or not even, almost 120. That's like way too old.
You weren't here for the one before this. So
no, I wasn't. I missed that one.
You get one of these.
Yeah. That means fire. My horse is coming up soon then, because I'm going to be 60 in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you came in on a horse?
I came in on a horse. Yeah. I think I'm either a wood horse or a fire horse. Any rate, horse women are hard. They're difficult women, so I should warn you.
Yeah.
No, there was a thing a few years back where they were using amniocentesis to kill the women, because it was the year of the horse, and they were killing the women because they're argumentative and difficult and hard to marry off, right?
Wow.
And I have to say, in my class, there were a lot of women that did not marry. You know, the kids I went to college and high school with, years ahead of me and years behind me, all got married, lots of kids. My year, not so many. And I kind of, when I hear about the year of the horse and the women are hard to tame, essentially, is the premise of it. I went,
Okay.
You know, we have our own minds, and, you know, it's hard to get a horse to do what you want it to do. So,
They're out running around.
They're out running around having a good time with other horses. You know, they don't want to stay in the stable.
Right.
None of this being ridden, you know, tamed. So, yeah, so any rate, I never thought of that, but I'm going to have, that'll be coming soon. 2 more years, I think.
That's right.
3 more years, something like that. But we also have, with the dragon, because he is so exuberant and so self-possessed, when he's in water, it softens him and it makes him a little nicer and more sensitive. And, of course, last year we had finished the rabbit year. And, you know, I keep coming back to the Monty Python thing, you know, it was the killer rabbit. It was a hard year last year. So we are ready for a nice, emotional, soft water dragon year. I am, at any rate.
I'm for that.
Yeah, a little change.
I would like a little snow.
A little snow. We had snow.
Not much.
You want more snow?
In the middle Atlantic states, we're still lacking.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you're like one of the... Mark is a jock. I just want to say this to all of our listeners who don't know this. He is, like, very athletic. He swims all the time. He stands on his head because he's a yucky yoga guy. And he's married to Eileen, and the two of them go on, like, adventure vacations. They go swimming, they go hiking, they go... They're, like, always doing adventure things. So you want snow because you want to go skiing or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I knew it was, like, a jock thing. It's not like you want to just lay there drinking cocoa in front of a warm fire. It's like, I want to go out.
No, I don't want to just look at it.
No, you want to go play in it, yeah. Hike in it and snow ski and stuff like that, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. So he's married to a fellow jockette, so they live happily ever after, which is a really nice thing. And we need more snow. So
we need more snow.
Because the water is good in the summer. You've got the water, so the lakes are there. You can swim. But the snow, it has to come from the sky, or it doesn't really show up. So maybe you'll get more snow, because we've had a really dry, not-so-whatever winter, but now Mars is stationing to go backwards, and maybe he'll bring... snow, because it's been dry, kind of not as wet as normal.
Right.
So now Mars goes backwards today for 4 months until January, February, March, and April 15th he goes direct, and he reverses everything he's done since November.
Yep.
And he says, "You made the decision. I'm going to change it." So what do you think about Mars retrograde?
All in Virgo.
All in Virgo.
Somebody asked me today. Wait, how is the best way for Aries to handle this Mars in retrograde in Virgo?
Go backwards.
Well, they're really feeling it because
to
the sign of Aries, Virgo is a quincunx, an inconjunct.
Yeah.
And that's always an awkward energy, and then it's in the sign of Virgo as well, and so by sign it's also quincunx. So Aries will feel it quite strongly. All the different signs will feel it according to how Virgo relates to them.
Right.
And in the case of Aries, it's an awkward one. And really the way that Aries need to handle it is to emphasize the service side of things, being of service to others, and taking care of the details, and not getting irritated about having so many small details to take care of.
Right.
But that's a lot of what Mars brings in Virgo. The way you get things done with Mars in Virgo is by paying attention to detail, getting things right. There's a kind of perfectionism to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that Aries are a little, you know, they sort of scatter their energy and move on rather than, you know, stay on point and perfecting things.
Right.
They tend to always be starting the next thing.
Right.
And Mars in Virgo is saying, no, let's really get this right.
Mm-hmm.
And so there can be a real sense of redoing and starting over, and you know, each time practice makes perfect. So
right.
All the Aries out there can be thinking practice makes perfect to get them through this little few months here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. And then of course the Scorpios,
and the Virgos,
get affected.
The Mars in Virgo for Virgos is actually bringing them a pretty good bunch of energy.
Mm-hmm. They're busy. They're running around a lot. I find it's been very...
They won't mind redoing. Right?
No, they're in the mood to redo. Actually, they're looking forward to redoing. I've been making lists of all the things I'm going to redo for the next 4 months.
You know, when you really settle nicely into a project of redoing, you can get things right.
Yeah, 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 yeah. totally true. And also just kind of reorganizing, because I find a lot of times you get out of order. And Mars and Virgo backwards is for the next 4 months, we're going to have an opportunity to reorder things. And for the Scorpios, who are also going to be affected because Mars rules Scorpio, for them it's a little easier because it's a sextile. So they're going to be finishing up projects and kind of delving in deeper on a different level. So that part's good for them.
And they won't mind it because there's a little bit of an obsessive quality
to
Scorpio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they don't mind, you know, staying focused on whatever the project is.
Right.
Going
right.
a little deeper into mm-hmm. each little part of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And kind of delving deeper, deeper, deeper. They're able to do that kind of focusing energy. And it makes them happy to do it, too.
Exactly. And all the Earth signs will be pretty much happy with the Mars in Virgo.
Right.
Because they don't mind, you know, and the Mars in Virgo is operating in an Earth mode.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of fits with all of them.
Right. It also trines Pluto and Jupiter, who are in a grand trine. It'll form a grand trine when he gets Mars gets back a little bit. But it basically, Jupiter and Pluto are trining each other, so there's an enormous desire to be productive, to create something that's physically meaningful in the world, that's going to stay, that's going to last, that's got some validity and some structure. So there's a lot of energy around creating. So that part's good. And then Mars and Virgo also asks us to focus on our health habits, because wherever the Virgo house is often where we find we have ritualized habits. So Mars and Virgo says to us, are those habits working for you? Do you need to change them? How do you want to shift them? So for each of us, coming up with a different way of looking at our habits is important, because we're going to be asked to kind of revise our habits or change them. You know, and I know with me, I've been trying to eat 7 fruits and vegetables a day, because if I eat that many fruits and vegetables, there isn't much room for anything else. And it's been interesting.
And it's all healthy.
And it's healthy, you know, because I can go really heavy on those creams and cheeses. But the 7 fruits
and chips.
And the Charlie chips. Yes, I was saying to Mark, with Sirius and Aries, I got an email. It's very bad to get emails. When you send me sale emails, I'm a sucker for sales. So Vermont Country Store has Charlie chips in a can. For those of you who were born in the 50s, 60s, there was this brown and gold can. And they used to deliver them to the house. The Charlie Chip Man came around in the truck like the milk guy did, and dropped a can of potato chips off, and then you'd left the can out front, and he'd take that can away. So the Vermont Country Store has Charlie Chips cans, like a can. I was like, I got to order this. I almost ordered one for my brother and sister, and I thought, no, we're going to see what the first one looks like, and then we'll decide. So.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah.
Well, you know, if it's like a little, you know, like I'll just look, you know, because my memory is these are the best potato chips in the world. Now we have all different kinds, but they all come in paper bags. Back then, you got this big can of chips, and when you took the lid off, it had a very satisfying... I've already been thinking about the sound, a very satisfying sound. So.
Yeah, well, they probably kept pretty fresh in the tin.
They did. They were really fresh, yeah. And then you put the can out front, and the Charlie Chip guy would bring you a new can. And they had cookies, too. But we never got the cookies. We got the chips.
Chips, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were figuring that that might be an expression of
Sirius and Aries. Well, we were talking about new foods, so I found the old food on the new email. So, which, of course, potato chips, I realize, are a vegetable and not a good one, but they're in the vegetable category. So, but probably can't really eat 7 of those a day and have that count.
No, and by the time you slice them so thin and then throw them in a lot of oil,
they get bad.
You don't end up with the healthiest product.
Not so healthy. The other thing we have this week is Mercury going into Aquarius after having spent a lot of time in Capricorn. Now, Mercury in Capricorn is very, and he also rules the Mars, right? Because Mars answers to Mercury because he's in Virgo. So we're going to have a shift in the Mars energy. He's going to move from Capricorn, where he's practical, reliable, dependable, into Aquarius, where he's a little more farsighted and a little more a pattern at 20,000 feet. And Mercury in Aquarius is it's kind of an intellectual Mercury. It's one of his favorite places, though. What do you think about Mercury?
One of his favorite places. He can sometimes get a little bit too smart for himself, though.
Yes, he can. He's very smart when he's in Aquarius.
Right.
He's a know-it-all.
Rare intelligence.
Huh? Pardon?
Rare intelligence.
Rare intelligence, yeah.
Yep.
He's a little bit of a know-it-all when he's in Aquarius.
Yeah, exactly.
And Aquarius can be kind of dogmatic. You know, it's like, I know it and you don't. You're wrong. You know, so you have to watch that dogma thing, being a know-it-all with Mars retrograde.
But letting Mercury pass through that energy actually is good. It's, you know, one of the 12 energies to have that for a period of time. What'll it must be about a month?
No, it's very short. He's really flying. It's only like 20 days.
Fast.
Yeah, he's going really fast.
So he zooms through there and brings us that
into Pisces.
Thinking and using the mind.
Yeah.
And using communications.
Yeah, I was surprised how fast he went. He's like zipping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's going full speed.
Yeah, he's a speedy
guy. Full speed for Mercury is almost 2 degrees a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's lickety-cut. And then, of course, the Mars backwards now is going to get a little intellectual and know-it-all.
Right.
Or it's going to know what it wants. Maybe that's a better way to say it. Going to want to see the patterns. So, but, yeah, it's interesting. And then, of course, Saturn is at the degree that he's going to stop in a couple of weeks.
Right.
So we're, you know, he's, you know, he kind of sits at the degree for a really long time.
Yeah, it's the last degree.
You know, and the last degree, yeah. What do you see when you see planets at the last degree?
Well, you know, it's always a wrap-up of the sign, and what's funny is when they turn retrograde in that last degree, there's kind of a real strange energy to it because the planet, we're expecting it to move on and go on into Scorpio, and it says, no, I'm not done with Libra, and so he's going to back up without completing and taking that step into Scorpio. It's a little odd. You know, why didn't it turn around at 27 or 28? Nope, went right to the edge, right to the end. And then said, no, I'm not done. Going back. So it kind of throws us, you know. And so we're a little bit reluctant, at least I feel a little reluctant, to have to spend more time of Saturn and Libra. I thought we were done. and we're not. I mean, that's what I'm saying deep down inside.
Right.
Where I'm aware of what these energies are. It's saying, I thought we were done with Saturn and Libra. We covered all of the degrees. Now what? Oh, we're going to do some of them again. Okay. And again, because it'll go direct and come through those degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Where it goes back to about 23, right?
Right.
Yeah. So all of those degrees, it's going to touch on the way back. It'll stop at 23, and then it'll touch them again going forward. So there's something that's not completed there. What that's telling us is, you know, not so fast. You're not done with all of the lessons I wanted you to learn on Saturn and Libra. And I'm going to have to cover these again. It's a little bit like a teacher standing in the front of the room and saying, I'm not quite satisfied with the homework I've been seeing. We're going to go over this lesson again. Right?
And you're going to resubmit the homework.
Yeah.
Because we are in the resubmitting, too. We're also revising. In addition to Mars going back to the beginning of November, Saturn's going back to the degree he was at the beginning of November. So all those relationships, decisions you thought you made, he's going to say, are you sure? Is that what you really want? Do you think so? And we'll all go, well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe. And we get to decide and play with the decision and figure out how it looks between now and June. And then in June, Mars clears his shadow and gets out of Virgo, and Saturn goes direct, and it's full steam ahead. So, around the issue of relationship, around how we want to communicate in partnership, around what our dreams are of the structures we want to partner with and build over the next 29 years. And I know we've been seeing a lot of marriages and stuff blow up and die in the culture. You know, Heidi and Seal are getting divorced, Vanessa and Johnny Depp are splitting up, we had Arnold and Maria, we had Ashton and Demi, more and more and more. And at the same time, we also have Geminis and Sagittarius getting together because the eclipses were in those. But it also is a lot of people, you know, I've been talking to clients and saying, so 1980, well, that's when I got married. And they're deciding if they want to stay in their marriage. Or 14 years ago, 1997, well, that's when I met my partner. That's when I met, you know, I got married. So it's also very much about what we want to do about the relationships. And I think I had a really interesting conversation with a woman this afternoon who'd gone away for a month to kind of find herself. And also, you know, for education purposes, it was a course. And it really kind of reignited in her joy of living and her realization that we can't change the people that we're in relationship with. We can only change ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting point because a lot of times, you know, I'll have people go, well, I want them to change. And it's like, oh, I know that's what you want, but it ain't going to happen. You know, like they are who they are and they're probably happy the way they are. And why should they change for you? Why, you know, just because you want them to, you know, and a lot of times it's, well, you know, they need to go in therapy and change. And it's like, well, not unless they're in the mood, you know, like. But I think it, you know, Saturn and Libra, we're learning like we're the only one that can change. We have to take responsibility for how we're showing up in relationship and what's important to us. And then once we're good with that, then we're able to be in relationship. Pardon?
Yeah, it shows the boundaries.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that your skin ends here and your partner's skin starts there.
Right.
And the only thing you can really change is what's inside your skin. And you can ask that other bag of skin, but it makes some changes, and but you can't make that happen, and there's a boundary,
right?
And Saturn is very, very much about showing us our boundaries and how things are structured, and that, you know, showing us what our part in that structure is,
right?
Yeah. So should we check our callers or
actually, yeah? Let me get up. I'm gonna get up off the couch and go over to the red desk.
Okay.
It isn't that far. I'm just, it's the sitting up part that does me in. When you're all stretched out on the couch. All right, let's see what the bright red desk says about callers. Okay. So our phone number is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And we have a caller 207-538. If you want us to pick on you, raise your hand, which means press the one key, and we'll call it. Ah, there we go. Okay. They raised the one key. Hello, how are you, caller 207?
Hi, I'm doing okay. How are you tonight?
Very good, very good. How can we help?
Well, my birthday is August 30th, 1961, in Aegean, Greece, A-I-G-I-O-N, and I don't have a birth time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In Akaia County, right?
I'm in Greece.
August 30, 1961, and what's your question?
Yes. Well, you know, since the new year, I have had things revealed to me about people I know, things that were kind of surprising, kind of shocking. I've seen people for how they are, and I've cut a lot of people out of my life. I'm holding back. I'm just really keeping to myself right now because a lot of this has been surprising, and I just want to know what you see about that.
Okay. Well, we don't have a time, so we're going to give you a noontime. With the noontime, you have Saturn and Jupiter in the late degrees of Capricorn. Saturn's at 23 Capricorn and Jupiter's at 28 Capricorn. So they have been getting the 22-year closing square. So if we go back 22 years to 88, 89, there was a story that happened then when you hit your Saturn return and you made decisions about your life. And now what's happening is you're kind of figuring them out and going, I don't know that I believe that person anymore. And with Saturn and Capricorn, and you're a Virgo Sun Pluto, one of the things that Virgo Suns generally pride themselves on is truthfulness or truth, you know, Virgos parse the truth. They don't necessarily lie. They'll leave out a part, but they don't lie. And your Mercury's in Virgo, which is pretty straightforward, and it trines that Saturn and the Jupiter. And the Sun, Pluto, makes you believe there's right and there's wrong. And you've got Venus in Leo, which believes in right and wrong. So what you've been having is like this big disappointment with people not telling you the truth. And it would be how I would interpret what has been going on. And with Neptune on the South Node, there's kind of a, transiting Neptune on the South Node, there's a softening of what people think is really real. And, well, that's not that important. And you're like, well, it sure is. You know, the truth is important. And you have a finger of God to your North Node, which is in Leo, which says, I have to conduct myself in honor in this lifetime. And if I don't conduct myself in honor, which means Uranus separating from those who are not telling the truth, then I'm no better than them. So this is a chart that takes the hard path. It'll take the hard, make the hard choices. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's how you're wired, and it's part of your fundamental belief systems of who you are. And I would suggest to you, you know, if you understood maybe why they were lying, that might help a little bit. But the essential lack of truth is what really shook you. And, you know, the world has very malleable boundaries these days. There aren't a lot of people that say, you know, I just can't support that, you know. And you're one of the people that says, I can't support that. So I don't have a problem with it, except it can make you feel very alone right now. Right? Yeah. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, very much. And a lot of it is, you know, there is this big focus on both Virgo and Leo. And you want things to have the ring of truth to them, and you want people to be responsible, particularly for what they say. And you're very responsible with what you say in the way that you understand the truth and the way you convey it. And what goes on then is that you expect the same thing in return. And what you're learning is that not everybody looks at it like that. So then the question is this going to work, right?
Yeah.
So how has your experience matched that or not matched it?
No, it's matched up just like that. I am very disappointed, and I'm very honest myself.
Mm-hmm.
And just finding these things out, I'm taking a step back.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm cutting a lot of people out. You know, I'm holding back right now. I don't know if I'm going back to some of this.
Well, I don't know that you'll know until next fall.
Okay.
So Saturn is on the Jupiter. I don't know that you're done with these people because Saturn was a 22. He's going to station a 22. So he's going to go back and re-invite you to go back and look at these stories and see what you want to do about them two more times. So you'll have an opportunity between now and the summer, and then in July, in June, when Saturn goes direct, he'll offer you a second opportunity. And it may be that by you being firm about what your beliefs are, the other person then has an opportunity to change how they're approaching things. And, you know, Saturn is the planet of no. So you're saying, no, I just can't do this. Doesn't mean I don't love you. Doesn't mean I don't care, but I can't support this behavior. And sometimes that helps people get clear, you know. But you're not done with them yet. So you still have the opportunity to repair, replace. But for you, it's also what's important for you. It's you coming to terms with what you really believe to be true and important for yourself. And what is, you know, Leos are all about love, and Virgo is all about practical service. So it's also approaching this with service from a love's point of view. You know, what is the best way to show love in this situation?
Yeah.
And I think if you stand in that place, it'll help you make a decision. Pardon, Mark?
Right, that's where you want to go with it.
Yeah.
Is say, well, you know, put aside the wounded feeling and just say, you know, how can I best bring out the love?
Right.
But we're out of time.
Yeah, we are out of time. The British lady spoke.
Right. So this is Access Astrology signing off. Mark Waltz from New York.
And Ann Ortley from New York. And Heather and her adventure, we wish her well. And we knew she was probably not coming. But we hope you all join us next week. And Mark and I speak on Tuesdays at East West.
Nope.
Mars retrograde. I'm going back to the old place. We speak on Tuesdays at the Open Center at 6:45 to 7:45, our new time. And that is on 30th Street between Madison and 5th Avenue in New York City. He comes from the west side. I come from the east. And we meet on 5th Avenue, which drives the line down the middle of Manhattan. And we have a great lecture with a lot of fun, interesting topics and interesting people. So we hope you'll join us. And that you'll join us next week and you'll tell your friends about us.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in. Bye.